per signo crucis, de nemicis nostris, libera nos, Deus noster. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. Beg your pardon for my sins, the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, may guardian angel intercede for me. Tomorrow is Sunday 28 of ordinary time. As you know, the Church always present to us important, very important passages of the Scripture on Sunday, so that the people who do not go to Mass during the week, at least on Sunday, they receive it. It doesn't mean that there are passages in the Scripture that are less important, not really. Everything, every word in the Scripture, as the Scripture testifies itself, is inspired and is useful for our interior life. The first reading is about Isaiah chapter 25. And it goes, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all people a feast of rich food and choice wines. The prophet is talking about God. He says that Yahweh, the Lord, is on top of his mountain. The mountain, as you know, for this people, for the Hebrews and in general all the primitive, the early people, represents the place from which God governs the world. Is higher, so probably give them an impression that is out of the ordinary run of the mill in the mountain. The Lord of hosts, hosts are the armies of angels. We can imagine the Lord surrounded by all the angels. Recently, we have celebrated the Feast of the Angels, both of the three archangels and of the guardian angels. We can begin asking ourselves, do I join the adoration of God, but these hosts of angels? Do I keep an intense dialogue with my guardian angel, especially at the moment of temptation? But he says that on the mountain, God will provide for all peoples. So God is not oblivious of us. Very much on the contrary. God, infinite, almighty as he is, all wisdom and all goodness, is always concerned for the people that he had created. He could have forgotten about us, but he does not forget us. Not only he remembers us, as he provides. He provides us his ordinary providence. Without him, we will not be alive. But also he provides for extraordinary necessities. When we need special help, when we need to surmount a temptation, the Lord provides. For his favorite people? No. It says for all peoples. The Lord provides for all peoples. So let us fill ourselves with hope in God, with joy, that he is my God, that he is my Father, and that he is attentive to my needs. He provides a feast, not a punishment, a feast of rich food and choice wines. So it's an indirect allusion. Isaiah is 700 years before Christ, but he's already announcing the Eucharist, that food, the body of Christ, that wine, the blood of Christ. It comes from God. Juicy, rich food, pure. Rich because it provides our strength. Without Mass, without the Eucharist, we could not advance in our interior life. How do I prepare myself for the Mass, for the communion? Have I started already preparing tomorrow's Mass? When I wake up, do I prepare myself thinking I'm going to go to the altar of God, to God who is my joy, to Jesus in the Eucharist, who is the highway to heaven, pure food, choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. This is what we see around us. No matter how intelligent right now, elections in the United States, and the candidates are coming out, and sometimes you hear them, a specific person, and you say, what a pity. So high, so intelligent, so powerful, and this lady or whoever does not understand that human life is sacred, and his or this other person is pushing abortion, and he promises that he will practically impose it as a law. What a pity. Why? Because all these people, intelligent as they are, yet their intelligence has a veil that impedes them from seeing what is really important. That veil of ignorance, of sin, of prejudice, sometimes persecuting the church openly. But Isaiah says, on the mountain, so God will not need to organize anything extraordinary, he will destroy that veil. That veil that is woven of all nations. A veil that is woven means a veil that they have prepared themselves. It's not just a veil to happen to be there. No, it's a veil that they have woven with their sin. That's why it adds that connotation, woven. When you have to weave, you need a lot of work. And you have to put the thread in the loom and patiently come out with the veil. Well, this is what they have done. They have woven a web, and God will destroy death forever. You see, he's talking about the veil, but now shift to death, because that veil is death. That veil leads them to death. And to us, if we are not wise, sin leads to death, death in the soul. And physical death is a consequence of sin also. And now the prophet begins with a touch of hope. The Lord God will wipe away tears from every face. Tears is contrition. Tears is sorrow. And the Lord will console us. Think of this. He is in his mountain, and he is attentive to wipe our tears. So when you and I suffer little things, don't think that God is oblivious, that he is aloof. No. You are important for God, and God should be first and foremost to you as a consequence. He will reproach. He will remove the reproach of his people. Reproach. How many of our brothers and sisters are persecuted in countries like Pakistan, Arab countries, in which Christians are practically considered slaves. They lack freedom. Or in these so-called advanced countries, in which they ridicule Christianity or having faith, living in America, in Australia, sometimes violently, putting people in jail with trumped-up charges. This is the reproach that God will remove from us, from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. How will He remove that reproach? By transforming it into a source of grace and consolation. This is what we had to understand. No matter what happened in your life, be full of hope. It can be used for your advancement in the way to God, for your soaring like a balloon towards God, if you take it as it should, with patience, with serenity, offering it up to God. On that day, it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us." So He will not fail us. We look at Him to save us. To whom shall I go? Tell Him, only You have words of eternal life. And the worldly people, to whom do they look? They look after themselves. They trust their strength. They trust their weapons. They trust their wits. They work the connections and influence over the other. They trust in their media at their service. And you and I, behold, we trust our God. We look at Him to save us. Never miss this. Looking at Him, Lord, You are my salvation. This is the Lord for whom we look the moment of distress. So therefore, the conclusion, let us rejoice and be glad because He has saved us. You can imagine the little people of Israel, very little in comparison with the big empires, Egypt in the south, Assyria in the north, Babylon. And the prophet alerted them, warned them to seek the Lord, to seek safety in the Lord, not in their weapons, not in their alliances. Isaiah is talking to the Jews, to the Hebrews, but he says that God will bring salvation to all peoples, from the mountain of the Lord, not from the devices, not from our cleverness, but from the house of the Lord. That's why He promises us the best food and drink, the Eucharist, end to ignorance, error, fear, suspicion, the destruction of death forever, which is always attacking us from all corners, temptations. What should I do? We should invoke the Lord. That's why the responsorial song tomorrow keeps on repeating, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Because this is what your life and I and mine should be. To see to it, to fight, so that you live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What does it mean, in the house of the Lord? Means, yes, in the presence of God, directing your thoughts to Him, relying on Him. How do I do my norms of piety? How do I live the presence of God throughout the day? But to live in the house of the Lord adds something to it. Means not only to think of God, but to live in the house of the Lord means it's an attitude. It's to feel in the house, in the family of the Lord, which is the church. For us, in the prelature, to live our vocation. This is to live in the house of the Lord, because this is what God wants from me. Once in a while? No. He says there, all the days of my life. Attention, it doesn't say always. It could have said always. To live in the house of the Lord, always. Mean something that is customary. No, he says all the days. All the days means every day. So we have to live that effort, both to think of the Lord and to pray, and also to feel surrounded by God's family in His house every day. It's a daily contest. You see how Christian life is made with many, many little steps, daily steps. Daily steps. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, He leads us to trust that He is my shepherd. Why I should not want, or I shall not want? Because He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd, who is good, who cares for you. Now, are you a good sheep? Because if there is a good shepherd, but instead of a sheep, you are a rebellious goat that hates the shepherd and goes away, there is no understanding. He wants to bring you to verdant pastures. He wants to give you repose. He wants to bring you to restful waters. He wants to refresh your soul. Do you exert effort to accept Him? Do you listen to Him? He guides me in right paths. We are continuously being guided by Him, because continuously, very often, we find ourselves making decision, choices. Should I go there or not? What should I do now? Read this or work there? Continuously. Should I greet that person or being aloof over her, over him? So the Lord guides me constantly every day towards the right path. Even when we desert Him, when we commit sin, when we walk in the dark valley. But then, if there is repentance, if I become a good sheep, He is always the good shepherd, and I fear no evil, because He is always by my side. He is always there with His rod and His staff to give me courage. The rod, the staff, is what the Lord uses in our life. All these things happen in our life so that we come to reason. Everything. COVID, also COVID. We have to maintain an attitude towards it. Well, this is the rod of the Lord. Well, I don't know, being prudent, the way you keep it there, offering the frustration of not being able to do this or that. I'm sure that the Lord has a plan for us, so that he will spread a table before me. That table in which he will be the food, the Eucharist. He will anoint my head with oil, the oil of the grace. Let's be united to live in his house, to sit at table. It's not just a little table, but a large table, a family table. The shepherd, attentive as he is, has a flock. It's not only one sheep, it's a flock, God's family, and he gives us refreshment. Instead of being followed by wolves and jackals and other enemies that want to devour us, the Lord is there so that only goodness and kindness will follow to the sheep of Good Shepherd. Lord, be always my shepherd. Be always our shepherd. Our means our family. Help us to be good sheep. In the gospel, the Lord brings us a parable. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. There's no greater celebration among the Jews than a wedding. Normally it lasts for 1 week. Plenty of food, plenty of music. This man summoned the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. You see, you put it together with Isaiah. From his mountain, the Lord calls all people, but some refuse to come to him. They don't end up in another place. Simply, they end in a vacuum. There's no alternative from God. So it's not that, well, I don't want to go to the wedding, I'll go to a movie. No. If we are not going to the wedding, we are not going anywhere. When they refuse to come. Isn't it true? Sometimes in the past we have been like these people who put God in the second place, who put their own pride, their own greed, their own sensuality as the first the first priority in their life. A second time he sent other servants saying, tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet, my calves and fattened cattle are killed. The Lord is describing. He's not saying, come and you will see a surprise. No. It's very clear. It's a feast. There's abundant food. When we talk about God, we describe the wonder. The wonderful things that the Lord has prepared for us. This is the banquet. One went away, another to his business. Lord, help us so that we make my business your business. Help us to integrate all my interests into your calling. You call us, we have to coordinate everything. The Lord doesn't tell you, put off all your business, or don't marry, or this or that, or don't buy a cow. Okay? So, no. It means at this moment, we have the banquet, and you have to put together these two things. organizing yourself. Finally, he sent the guests to the street to gather whoever they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. All were called, bad and good. The bad were called, means if they accepted the call. Prior to that, they were bad, but now they are in the house of the Lord. And the same with the good. So, in general, nobody is good or bad. It depends your response to God. Nobody is in an inferiority or inferior position as the disadvantage. No. The Lord calls everyone. It all depends my response to Him. Lord, here you have my life. Tell Him. He offers you my life as my response. Whatever you want, here I am. In the manner you want, I hear. They went in, and there was a person there, not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, "My friend, how is it that you came in here without the wedding garment?" Perhaps for us sounds a little bit strange. But the Lord is telling us that once He calls us, He demands from us a change of mind, a change of attitude. That's the metanoia, the repentance. That's the wedding garment. Do I direct my mind towards the Lord? Do I want to serve Him all the days of my life? Do I want to live in the house of the Lord? That's the wedding garment. What is my priority? What is my dream in life? This is what makes us wear the wedding garment. Now, the conclusion, it seems a little bit cruel. Because the king said to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." Oh, just a minute. Just because this person did not have the proper attire? No, as you can understand, this is a parable. It means that if you don't choose God, then we deserve punishment because we have been announced. There's only one wedding feast. There's no another competing wedding feast. There's only God. That's why we have to thank you. Lord, thank you because you have invited me to the feast. Help me to prepare myself every day. Specifically tomorrow, to receive you. Because your invitation, when I correspond to it, is a sign that I have been chosen. Many are invited, few are chosen. Well, it depends on their response to God. This is the mystery of freedom. God could have said, "Okay, bring them by the ear," and no, He leaves you there. That's why the fellow who was not the proper dress, he had the freedom of going there. That's why he was punished. Because instead of choosing the right attitude, he went bold and went there without due preparation, without having his heart for the Lord. He wanted to betray God, in other words. Let's continue fighting in this month of October, month of the Rosary. How are you praying the Rosary? Do you realize the Holy Rosary is an instant Bible? We meditate on all these mysteries of the Lord. Let's continue walking towards God. Let's continue availing ourselves of the help from the Lord that He provides to us. Let's center all our struggle in the Mass, in the Eucharist. That's why the Lord talks about a table, because it has to be our way to heaven, the way, the only way to heaven. There, a table beside the king is the queen, our mother. How beautiful to sit down at table with them, with all of us, all together as a family forever.